Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. Our guest this evening is Dr. Samuel Milham. He is a physician, epidemiologist specializing in public health. He has more than 100 scientific publications, many dealing with the health effects of electricity. In 1997, Dr. Milham was awarded the Ramazzini Prize for his pioneering work in describing the occupational cancer risks of electromagnetic fields. He lives in Olympia, Washington, and Indio, California, with his wife, Sherry, and his dog, Monty. And I think I'm going to bring Dr. Samuel Milham on now. Sam, how are you this evening?
I'm okay, but unfortunately, my introduction is not accurate anymore. My dog died, and I'm not living down in California anymore. I'm a full-time resident of Olympia, Washington. Other than that, everything's fine.
Yeah, I was thinking that when I was reading it, because I just had one of my dogs pass away, with just the past couple weeks, and yeah.
My dog was killed by ground currents. I'm positive, because in the course of trying to figure out what made him sick and why he got what he got, I made measurements in my house, and where he slept every night was on the bathroom floor, because it's hot in California. And and it turns out that I wrote a paper subsequently, I actually measured the currents in my body in the bathroom, sitting on the toilet, and with shoes on and barefoot, and then touching the water pipe in the shower, and showed that the currents that the utility has been dumping into the ground to get into your house, especially along the pipes, and what they're doing is they're putting heavy currents in our bodies, whether we like it or not, and there's no reason for it. It's making us sick.
Well, the title of your book is called The Electrification and the Diseases of Civilization. That's a pretty interesting subtitle, and you probably chose that for just one of the reasons, like you just pointed out. We're constantly being exposed to dangerous electricity, right?
Well, you know, you want me just reassociated how I got to that conclusion? I started
sure.
out... In medical school and pediatrics, I was fascinated with childhood leukemia. And here's a cancer that happens in little kids. And I figured if we were going to find out, with an adult, you have a different situation. You know, you could have gotten your exposure to whatever caused it many, many years before. With a kid who dies at age 3 or 4, it had to happen just sometimes after conception. In that short period, so I figured we'd have a better shot at maybe understanding the etiology of the disease. So that's how I got started in this. And then I later on showed that the major leukemia of childhood isn't present in places that aren't on the grid. I mean, even today, sub-Saharan Africa and places in China and in India where the wires haven't snaked out to their homes, they don't have it. And we didn't have it in this country until the grid extended to rural areas. The big breakthrough for me was I found a paper that documented the spread of electrification in the U.S. And it turns out that Edison from the Pearl Street Generating Station in New York started delivering DC initially and then later AC from the Pearl Street Station in 1882. By 1900, all the big cities in the world had electricity. But the thing that really astonished me was that the last farms in this country didn't get it until the mid-50s. You had over half a century with two big populations in this country, one of which that was exposed to electricity and one of which wasn't. And the one that wasn't was gradually being reduced until finally the rural areas caught up with the urban areas. But just by looking at the good vital records we had over that period, you know, death records, if you died of leukemia in 1940, it's pretty hard to have it missed. And I showed that there were huge urban-rural discrepancies, and as time went on, everybody got it. The big surprise for me was I went in to look at just the childhood leukemia, and I found out, hey, it's everything. It's chronic obstructive heart disease, it's emphysema, it's even suicide is related to this. I mean, and let's face it, we're an electrochemical soup. We evolved with cosmic rays and with a magnetic field from the Earth's core, and the Schumann resonances, and lightning, and that was about it. And now we've got this horrible exposure from you know, everywhere of all sorts of frequencies that we're just not evolutionarily adjusted to. It'll take, you know, a long time for us to adjust to it if we ever can.
Didn't Tesla talk about direct current rather than AC? Is AC more, alternating current more, is more dangerous than direct current?
Well, Edison, they had a big AC-DC fight, and Edison lost out. He was the DC proponent, and they did horrible things like electrocuting elephants and stuff to show which was worse. Now, the big advantage of AC is you can use transformers at the generation or at the end of the line to change, and you can serve many loads from many different customers with a single line. With DC, you had to have one line going from the where it was made to where it was used. So if you had, you know, 100 customers, you had to have 100 separate lines. And so the AC was obviously a whole lot more economically viable. But, you know, there's still a few places in the world that have DC systems, and they work okay.
Now, you talked about a childhood leukemia cluster in Rome, New York, and I think it was related to radar.
Yeah, well, I was stupid at the time. Now, this is the first cluster I looked at. I drove from Albany to Rome, which is near Utica, and I got the death records for it. I looked for them. There was an article in The Lancet, which is a British magazine, that asked about leukemia clusters. And so I was working at the New York State Health Department at the time. This is before computers, so I just sorted out all the punch cards for kids who died of leukemia over, you know, for the years I had data for, and put them into piles. And sure enough, there was a huge cluster that had happened about 10 years before I did this in Rome, New York. So I checked the, I actually went to the hospitals and checked the pathology, and they certainly were what they had. One thing that was interesting right at the top when I started examining and visiting and talking to people was that one of the mothers of one of the kids died a couple of years after the kid did. And I couldn't make head or tail out of it. I wrote it up, but they didn't seem to have anything in common. But many years later, a Polish investigator named Smigelski wrote a paper showing that leukemia and lymphoma were a lot higher in military people who worked with radar and radio. And I remembered clearly walking around Rome, New York. I could see this rotating radar array at, I think it was Griffiths Air Force Base at the time. Now it's an industrial park and there's no more radar. But when I read that article, I said, oh my God, I blew it. That's what it was. And then by then we had real strong suspicions about radar and RF and about EMF in general. So that's probably almost certainly what caused that cluster.
So what about cell phones and people putting cell phones against their heads? How dangerous is that?
Well, would you stick your head in the microwave oven? I mean, you know, that's exactly analogous. It's even worse because if it's right up against your head, you're I'll look at the literature and the studies, hundreds of them now, to show it's just bad news. And common sense tells you, you don't put yourself up against a microwave transmitter. That's what they are. They're basically our first ones are at the same frequencies as your radar range. And you wouldn't put your hand in it and turn it on, would you? I mean, and they've shown all sorts of effects, and tumors to the salivary glands, especially on that side of the head, brain cancers, especially on that side of the head, and certain kinds of brain cancers. And it's nonsense. And they show with girls who carry the phone in their bra are developing tumors at the site, and men who keep carry it in their pocket, their sperm counts are way down. So it's biologically bad news, and the long-term consequences are bad. And in fact, there's been some recent literature in kids showing that this from Korea, that the kids get kind of they get dumbed down, that it's doing something to the way they think. And let's face it, your brain is everything, and why would you put stuff into your brain? And it's not just the cell phone, it's Wi-Fi in general, it's all the devices we surround ourselves with. And now it's getting worse. I mean, they're putting radar in cars for collision avoidance, they put cell towers near schools and near firehouses, and it's not just the RF from the cell towers that's bad. Early on, I noticed that every transmitter in the world, FM, AM. Your cell phone, your smart meter, all transmitters run on direct current. They can't buy that from the utility. So if they're like your cell phone runs on a battery, but you have to charge it, huh? See, it's got a switching power supply that you plug into the wall that changes the AC to DC to charge your phone. Well, cell towers are the same thing. Every one of them's got a big switching power supply in it that takes the AC, makes DC so they can charge their backup batteries and to run their transmitter. And so it's cell towers and smart meters are putting out radio frequency, of course, to their function to transmit, to communicate. But they also have these horrible switching power supplies in them that generate a ton of dirty electricity that goes into the wiring of the house, the facility, the school, the neighborhood, and it's bad news. There's a wonderful paper by some people down in South America, I think it was Brazil, and they did death record study looking at one province called Belo Horizonte, I think it was, and they showed that the closer you lived to the cell tower base, the higher your cancer rate. And the thing that got me, it went out 500 meters. That's 1,500 feet. That's not the RF. That's the dirty electricity. It goes that far. So I think that's evidence that the dirty electricity from cell towers is killing people too.
Man, I tell you what. I just wonder about all this. I mean, I got a cell tower not far from here. And it just concerns me. And are people going to be getting brain tumors because they're holding cell phone?
They're going to be getting everything, and it's not just the brain tumors. The dirty electricity I've shown in my book, it causes everything. I mean, it causes heart disease. It causes, it causes suicide. It causes all the cancers, not just leukemia. It causes breast cancer, men and women, and it's the only thing it doesn't cause in my studies is car accidents, accidental deaths, and then my website is just, if you just Google Sam Milham or dirty electricity, it'll pop up, and I got about 10 papers or more on there, and I'm adding them all the time that basically show you that the stuff is just nasty. And the latest thing I've noticed is is these exposures are putting heavy currents into our body, way above those that are known to cause heart irregularities and cancer. And that's a courtesy of your friendly utility. You know, when Edison built the grid, he basically had his first customers had a single wire earth return system. The abbreviation is SWER. All electricity came from his dynamos out to the customer and ran back through the ground. But quickly, he found out that his men who were digging to put the underground grid in were getting shocked, and horses were reacting to it, especially they pulled trolley cars and stuff then. So he went to a system where he had a return in a wire, and that's basically what we have to this day. But in this country, we got a grounded Y grid. It's WYE is the name of it. They don't have it in Europe. They've got a delta system. But our grid initially had like one connection to the earth for lightning protection and for in case a high voltage line fell on a distribution line to protect the customers. But starting in about the 70s with advent of computers and a lot of other electronic junk, house fires and building fires started happening because the existing neutral on the poles to carry that current back to the substation wasn't big enough to handle the dirty electricity. It turns out most of these devices generate high frequencies, and high frequencies don't travel in electric wires as good as the 60 cycle stuff does. So the wires are inadequate, and they heat up and burn, and they cause fires. So the building codes were changed right away to require more robust or heavier neutrals in the houses and offices and buildings. But the utilities, in their infinite greed, instead of beefing up the wires on their poles or underground, just dump it into the ground. Now, instead of one connection per mile, they might have four. Every transformer I look at where I live has got a wire running from the transformer down to the ground. If you look up the transformers, if you can see them, they got three taps on them, three connections. The outside two are the hots that deliver the electricity. The center one's the neutral. Now that is connected to the ground at your house, to the outlet grounds, a little round plug in your house, to the little green screw in your breaker box. And thanks to the utility, all that stuff that's running down the neutral is running into the ground and it's running into your house through your slabs, through your water pipes, and through your rebar. And so basically, the closer you live to a substation, the filthier the electricity in your house wiring and in you is. And right now, there are places in this country where people live near substations who get electric shocks. There's so much garbage running down the line.
So if you're farther away, it's more dangerous?
No. If you're closer to the substation, it's more dangerous. It's just like sewage.
Okay.
The stuff, it's delivered to buildings and houses way out at the end of the substation loop. You know, and then all the garbage that's being generated by your computers and your variable frequency drives and your and the other switching power supplies you have in your house or your factory is getting dumped into the ground there, and it's running back to the substation through the earth. So that all that stuff from the end of the line piles up as it's running toward the substation. So at the substation, you're going to get the highest level of the stuff, just like water, you know, just like sewage. And there's no reason for it to be there they're not supposed to be there. National Electric Safety Code says you can't do this, but they do it. And most public utility commissions have very simple statements saying that, you know, the use of the earth as a primary current return is not allowed. But they all do it, and they get away with it. There's no teeth in the rules or the laws. And I tell you, it's making people sick. It's so bad now.
Go ahead. So what you're saying is if the utility companies didn't run current back into the ground, it would be safer?
Absolutely. Oh, my God, would it be safer? I'll give you a great classic example. The Amish who don't use electricity, you look at their their cancer rates, their disease rates. They don't have Alzheimer's. There's no asthma in the kids. There's no ADHD in the kids. There's no childhood obesity. Blah blah blah. I mean, you just look at it. They're poster children for health. But now what's happening is there's so much of the crap in the ground that last year I visited Amish farms in Wisconsin with my friend Stetzer, and the people are getting sick even though they don't have any electric wire coming to their house. They're not on the grid, but the stuff's running through the ground, and it's making their cows sick. It's making them sick, and we actually can measure. We can actually measure current flowing from the sink to the floor. We do this test in a lot of places just to see how polluted the residence is. So there they are. They're getting exposed free to electricity for free. They don't have to pay for it. But no, it's getting worse. Ground current is just getting to horrendous levels. And I found it on the Cascade Crest Trail when I lived in California. I took my boat out to an island in Puget Sound. It's never had any habitation, any electricity, and it's there, you know. I put a couple of stakes into the ground, 50 feet apart, run a wire between them, and I can measure the currents, see, and the voltage. And it's just a horror story. Nobody seems to give a damn either.
So tell us again why the utilities run the electricity back into the ground. I didn't quite get that.
Well, what happened is when they first started doing this years ago, the first people who noticed were the dairy farmers. Their cows wouldn't give milk, okay? So they started suing the utilities. So it turns out that the utility regulations allowed like 1 volt in the ground. All it takes is 10 millivolts to put a cow off her milking. So Stetzer and Dave Stetzer and Marty Graham found out it wasn't so much the 60 cycle stuff; it was this garbage, this dirty electricity that was running into the ground, that was major responsibility for the problem. It's called electrical pollution. It's, you know, it's sags and swells and harmonics and I don't want to get technical, but anyway, the utility, their think tank, 30 years ago, told them, hey, the way you can avoid the farmer problem and the problems with stuff in the ground is just put up more neutral wires on the poles, and they actually recommended the fifth wire system. That'd keep all electricity that's running to your house that you use out of the ground, because it'd run back in the wires. It'd have no need to run into the earth. The only reason they're using the earth is that they don't have to buy wires. It's cheaper. So they're sacrificing your health, your well-being, and animal health and well-being on the almighty altar of corporate profits.
So they run it back into the ground so they don't have to string more wires on the poles?
That's it. You got it right there.
Okay, gotcha. Now, what about suicide? You're saying that this electricity can cause suicide?
Absolutely. Well, you know, suicide is just the tip of the iceberg of depression. You know, you go to the drugstore and they sell all sorts of drugs because people can't sleep. Insomnia is one of the major problems with this, and depression's a big part of it too. I got a paper on my website. that goes into all the diseases. And what I did is I looked at 1940 deaths, and if you look at suicide, the rates in rural areas in 1940 were about a half what they were in electrified areas. The southern states like Mississippi didn't have, in 1940 only maybe 10% of the farmers had it, and if you look at the rural areas, electrification level was varied from really low to they started catching up with the electrified states, like the East Coast states had it first. but as time went on, you can see that the suicide rate tracked perfectly in rural areas the percent of residents that were hooked to the grid. If it was low, the suicide rate was low. And if they were getting up where the cities were, it was high. And it just, the data is just striking. And it's the same way for cancers. And I got graphs in there. I mean, a 10-year-old could look at them and say, wow, look at how different this is. And let me give you another example of this. The Amish, they moved over here, and they're a Mennonite sect, and they came over in the 1700s from Germany, and they keep good genealogy records, and they know how long they live. Life expectancy is accurate with them. When they got here, they were dying in their 70s when people in electrified cities around the world were dying in their 40s and 50s. Average life expectancy of men and women in New York was like never above 55 in those years, and the Amish were living in their mid-70s, and the rural people in this country were living that long too, and the other thing that ties with this is I showed that during the depressions, economic depressions from 1900 forward, that any time we had a depression, people were out of work, the wheels of industry are turned by electricity, electric motors, that during a depression, you get this counterintuitive increase in life expectancy and improvement, and death rates go down. And it's not just during depressions, it's when the Germans invaded the lowlands in Europe, everybody marveled that, hey, wow, the life expectancy is going up, and mortality rates are going down. They said, oh, it's due to caloric restriction because they figured food was scarce. It's not that at all. In Cuba, when the Russians pulled out and their economy collapsed, they lived longer and were healthier, had lower mortality rates. That's on my website, too. You can see all those studies.
And what's your website again? Tell us your website.
It's just look up Sam Melham Dirty Electricity on Google.
Okay.
Or if you,
okay.
It's HTTP /:// www.sammelham or Sam. Just if you look up Sam Melham Dirty Electricity, it'll pop up. It'll be the first or second thing, and then it's got a picture of my book and up in the top line there's recent papers. Somebody would read these because. They tell the story. They tell it in spades. Okay, another dirty electricity horror story is, it's in the book, is when I was living in California, I picked up the paper one day, I don't know, in 2003 or 4, and the school teachers were complaining about having too many cancers in this middle school. So one thing led to another. And I did a study without the help of the school district. In fact, they threatened to have me arrested if I walked on the property. But we got the teachers
really?
To use your books and stuff. And we showed that you can measure dirty electricity in the outlets with a microsurge meter made by Stetzer. It's a wonderful little device. You just stick it in. It powers itself, and it tells you how much of the stuff is running down the wires. And it gives you a numerical reading. It turns out that somebody outside, since I couldn't go in, had the state health department measure every outlet in the school. And it turns out that the higher that reading, dirty electricity in the room, the higher the cancer incidence, not deaths, new cases of cancer in the teachers. And that explains why teachers around the world have high cancer rates, so do professors. And that led to another study. Teachers at another school called and said, hey, we got the same problem. So I went over and checked that out. And that one was due to a cell tower on campus. And not only did they have a whole lot of extra cancers, but one of the teachers complained that her kids were unteachable. They had ADHD, activity. They were hyperactive, unteachable. So I filtered, I put filters, outlet filters, into the room, five of them, that one classroom, and I didn't tell her why or how, what I was doing. And next week she called me and said, the kids are perfectly well. I said, it was just a remarkable difference. They were teachable. They were jumping around. And she was smarter than I was. What she did is she pulled the filters out and put them back in, and she could turn the kids on and off like a light switch in about 40 minutes. So there's another condition that's due to dirty electricity. Before you give your kids Ritalin for ADHD, just clean up the electrical pollution in their environment. Mm-hmm. I've had it happen in houses too, you know, where the house is really dirty, the kids will be nutty, and the mother will have chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia, and then you clean up the house and it all goes away.
Can you, did you say you put a specific kind of filter in the plug?
Yeah, these are capacitors. They've been known forever. But Monty Graham and Dave Stetzer got a patent on the meter. It's called a microsurge meter. This stuff's available from Stetzer Electric. They got a website. And
okay.
You put these capacitors in the outlet, and what it does is it knocks down that, it shorts out the high frequency transients. It doesn't do anything to the 60 cycle. So some of the worst places I find are hospitals, you know. I had a hospital down in California that was, I don't know, 20,000 dirty electricity units when 50 will make you sick. So you don't want to go to that hospital if you're sensitive. No, these filters, I've got them all over my house. I don't have that many because my house is fairly clean. But we cleaned up a library, which was really dirty, and we measured the neurotransmitters in the people who worked there, and they improved. And neurotransmitters are, of course, related to how you think, how you feel, and your mood, your depression. You know, I think that's how the suicide thing works. And ADHD is related to a neurotransmitter that changes. And the kids have low levels of it, and you give them the Ritalin, or you put filters into where they're living or sleeping, and they get better.
So the dirty electricity causes suicide in some people, and it causes a kind of a hyperactivity in children?
Absolutely. And it causes a whole lot else. It causes, the major symptoms are insomnia. Some people it causes rash. It causes an immediate change in blood sugar.
Really?
When you get into it. And, when we clean up a house where diabetics live, we have to caution them, especially if they're type 1 and use lots of insulin. Their insulin requirement is going to change immediately. And they have to be really careful that they don't overdose on insulin.
Jeez.
I could tell you another story. That school that had the ADHD kids, one of the teachers had severe type 2 diabetes, and he just couldn't control his blood sugar. It was, you know, 200, 300, 400, and he'd actually had infections and amputations. 3 weeks after he retired, his diabetes disappeared. Gone.
Oh, my goodness. And it was coming
from... I talked
from
to him a great length, and he said, his blood sugar, after about a week after he retired, he took his sugar again. It was never over 100, 105, 110. He was, before that, it was in the 300, 400s, and he was just feeling great. I said, what did your doctor think? He said, he doesn't believe it. Well, I said, you're cured because you had electronic diabetes. And... You know, and it's not just that. One of my old former students is an epidemiologist, works for Kaiser in the Bay Area. He took, any time a woman got pregnant for a while, he enrolled them in a study. And for one day in the first trimester, he hooked a Gauss meter on them that recorded what their magnetic field exposure was. He probably wasn't measuring the right thing, but... Anyway, then he followed the kids after they were born, and when they got into their teens, that reading that one day in their moms when they were pregnant with this kid predicted whether the kids had asthma or whether they were obese. So childhood asthma and childhood obesity for sure are caused by dirty electricity. Because dirty electricity...
Sorry to interrupt you. So are you saying that... Electricity can change our blood sugar levels and therefore also affect our level of body fat?
I'm saying a study by Deacon Lee, it's all referenced in my book. He showed that one day reading, 24-hour reading in a mother during the first trimester of pregnancy predict whether that kid that she was carrying was fat or had asthma when they were in their teens? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that. And there's an epidemic of childhood obesity in this country. You'd never see a fat Amish kid. There's good studies on. That's all referenced in my book. There's a guy who took care of a whole bunch of Amish in the Midwest someplace, and he wrote it up that in his years there, he never saw a kid with a fat Amish kid or a kid with ADHD. And there's lots of studies showing that Amish kids don't have asthma. And the barns they work in are unheated. They're dirty. They're dusty. They're crappy. They don't get asthma.
That's something else. What about fertility? Does electricity affect fertility?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if I have this anecdote in my book, but they're showing now that, he'll tell this anecdote. Dave Stetzer in the Midwest had a bank where the tellers, the women, who worked there and give you your money, they were repeatedly aborting or couldn't get pregnant. Okay, so he went in, found the place was dirty, which figures. They each have a computer and they sit at this all day. And the most banks are really filthy with dirty electricity. They got copy machines and other things that make it. So he went in, cleaned the place up, and went away and forgot about it. About a year later, he gets a semi-irate call from the bank manager saying, "Hey, you, his all my gals are quit because they got pregnant." I get women who call me and say they can't get pregnant, and I tell them, I say, "Why don't you and your husband take a honeymoon up in cabin up in the wilderness of Canada where there's no grid and see what happens."
Wow, that's incredible.
Sperm counts have been going down for about 4 years in this country. They used to be much, much higher. Thank God we make millions of them. But if you carry a cell phone in your pocket, your sperm count goes down because you're close enough, so it's giving you magnetic field as well as RF exposure.
What do you think about these machines that produce negative ions? Can they help?
I'm really wary of any machine that puts any kind of current in your body. And I'm also very, very wary. In fact, I've measured these things. There are people out there that say they've got these. They talk about earthing. That you buy this expensive blanket that you sleep on. They have it hooked to your outlet ground or to a ground stake outside. Allegedly, it's supposed to drain the bad stuff off your body. But unfortunately, electricity runs both ways in a wire. And where I live here, I actually did it. He sent me one of these things. I measured what was coming off it into me in my house. It basically, you're hooking yourself to the utility neutral wire is what you're doing. If you plug it in at the outlet ground, it's carrying all the crap that's outside running and all the crap that you're making inside. So what happened is a woman called me, says she bought one of those, and when she got it, she just couldn't sleep and she felt sick. I said, "Well, don't use it." And other people complained, and the lady was distributing them. She just sent them all back to where she got them from. They wrote a big book on this. And there's all sorts of other devices out there that had a woman once with Lou Gehrig's disease, which is another EMF disease for sure. In fact, I wrote a paper on that. And he got his from shortwave diathermy. The guy who was the trainer was a chiropractor for the Yankees. Used those on his back and on other guys. And he actually burnt DiMaggio's leg so bad he couldn't play first year. They also burned some guy in Boston who never played again. But anyway, it's not the burn, it's the electromagnetic fields. And I wrote a paper showing that disease is more common in people who get struck by lightning or who are exposed to electric shocks or who use these TENS care units, transcutaneous electric stimulation. Soccer players, a big epidemic of ALS and M, and they use a lot of that. I'm really worried now because on TV I see that Icy Hot, some of the other lemon manufacturers are our marketing TENS units. These things give you shocks to keep the pain down, but the shocks will give you this disease. Horrible. You know, who wants to get a fatal disease from some stuff you can buy in a drugstore? Okay, well, what else can I tell you about? I got no good news.
let me ask another question. So you're saying that the microsurge filters that we put in our wall outlets.
The microsurge meter measures the dirt. The filters short it out.
Okay, gotcha.
In other words, if you get the meter and you plug it in and it reads less than 50, you don't need any filters.
Okay.
But if you have, copy machines or computers or other trash around it that makes this dirty electricity, like in my house, I may have 10 deployed. My condo in California, I had to have one in every outlet, and two in some of them, because it was so dirty down there.
So if we get these filters from the Stelzer Electric,
you get a package with filters and a microsurge meter, because without the microsurge meter, you're blind. You don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
So when I clean up a house, I usually go around with an AM radio, and I listen for any buzzing off station, and that'll hone in on any devices that are putting out RF, like your microwave oven, or switching power supplies do it too, and compact fluorescent lights, and a lot of fluorescent lights, and LEDs are horrible. What you first do is you go around and remove anything that's making crap that you don't absolutely need, or you can get incandescent lights that don't do it, and then you measure the outlets with the microsurge meter, and if they're above 50, you put filters in to get it down. A lot of houses will be 300-400, and you put a filter in, it goes down to 20 or 30. And it makes a big difference in how people feel.
So you put the filter in if the microsurge meter is over 50.
Right. Well, the directions come with the stuff. It's
good.
On the website. Stetzer had a school, and it's called the Melrose Mindoro School. I think it referred to it in a book. They rebuilt the place. They ripped it apart. They said it was a mold problem. Everybody was sick. The teachers were sick. The teachers couldn't remember the kids' names. And the principal was out half a year with quote, MS, multiple sclerosis. After repainting and ripping it up and fixing it, they called him. He found it was filthy. He cleaned it up. Within 3 days, 37 kids who used inhalers for exercise-induced asthma didn't need them anymore. Only three of the 37 kids still needed them. So they cured an asthma problem in the kids. And absenteeism went down. Test scores went up. And all was well and good. The teacher who had MS, she was a principal, actually. She had lesions in her brain on MRI. They disappeared. She felt great.
Mike.
Got herself
That's
pregnant
right.
and had a kid. And it's when you see it in a bad place where people are symptomatic, it's a miracle. I I did a house once. This gal had chronic fatigue syndrome, and her kids were wacky and doing badly in school. And her house was really bad. And the first time I visited there, she was still in her bathrobe like around noon. And she was just, dragging her butt around the house. So I fixed the place up. I'm back two weeks later. And she was outside pressure washing the sidewalk at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. And
completely recovered, And the kids, they felt better. And they were being held back in school. And they both skipped grades. They were so smart. Turns out they were getting dumbed down by the stuff.
So the microsurge meter will cost about $125.
Well, whatever it costs on look on his website. I haven't bought one in years. In fact, the one
okay.
I got is he makes special ones for me that the one you buy tips out at 22,000 units, which seems like a lot, but I find hospitals that tip out over 20,000. So I needed one that read even higher. So he gave me a couple of those, and you know, we worked together on jobs.
So hospitals are one of the worst places for this bad electricity.
Absolutely.
Colleges as well.
Yeah, well, you know, the professors and teachers have really high cancer rates and high disease rates. They shouldn't have. And yeah, I think I got the answer to the college. Well, the teachers' question is beyond doubt. The California Teachers Association has been studied by the California Health Department for like 25, 30 years, and they consistently have high rates of certain cancers, the same one we found in La Quinta School, melanoma and brain cancer, and, et cetera, and a bunch of other things. But so that's absolutely right on. And the school, it was a combination of computers everywhere and copy machines and fluorescent lights. And down in the school was in a block that had really high levels of dirty electricity from the utility dumping it in the ground. In fact, I measured the same sort of levels in a Boys and Girls Club next door, in a YMCA daycare center two doors away. And before I came back home last year, I measured there were a whole bunch of cancers at a development right near the school, and they had the same problem there. So the ground was really filthy, and it was getting into all those buildings and into the people, and it was getting into the wiring, and it was exposing people. College thing, I think I finally answered that about a month ago. I was looking at a Southern University because they had a cancer cluster. I'm looking on Google Earth. It was down south in Alabama, and I didn't see any air conditioners on the buildings, and the windows are on the roof. You know, they're easy to see. You know, they got big box and coils and stuff. It turns out that they have a central powerhouse, and they got wires and pipes running to the buildings. They pipe cold water to the buildings. So I think that's a perfect setup for ground currents. And what's happening is electric motors all over the world, they're putting these variable frequency drives on them, and they make a terrible amount of dirty electricity. In fact, one of my last papers, it's on my website, there are a bunch of kids who got a fatal ocular melanoma in North Carolina, and we traced it to a liquid natural gas pumping plant that was nearby, and they had big VFDs, and we found the same dirty electricity pattern in the ground at the school as we did miles away on the pipeline. The pipe gives it a perfect conduit to run, you know. See, the current's going back to the substation will take the path of least resistance, according to Ohm's law. So if you got a pipe or a railroad track or a wire or a stream, they'll run in it rather than run through the dirt. And so we found, I got a theory that the cancers are probably frequency specific. It takes a certain electromagnetic frequency to cause a specific cancer. Uh-huh. And the Russians knew that. They never published it, but they weaponized dirty electricity way back in the Cold War. There was an embassy in Moscow that they caused cancer, leukemia, and two or three of the red directors. And the cover story was that it was caused by microwaves beamed in from outside. But no, you can't do that with microwaves because the rebar and the concrete walls would nail it and stop it. So they ran it in on the power, and that'll do it.
Hmm. I have a Prius. That's probably a pretty dangerous car in terms of electricity, right?
No. I've measured a couple. Well, it depends. I say maybe the brand new ones are bad because those that have collision avoidance got radar. They're bad. But I have measured a Prius, and maybe it's 4 or 5 years old, and it wasn't that bad. Now, there are some that are, well, I measured Tesla, the electric cars, they're horrible. And in the old days, some of the cars that had a battery in the back, underneath the back seat, they seemed to have really high levels. I got into that study in the radial tires put out bad fields because they got a mile of wire in them for the steel belts, and they pick up the Earth's field, and when you rotate a magnet, you make current. So you get high levels of magnetic fields and current from the tires. Like, so your left foot gets it if you're a driver. If you sit a baby over in a car seat over the back tires, they're getting zapped too. And I wrote the tire companies and told them they could take care of it easy by using non-magnetic wire, but they don't even answer me.
Boy, there's so many different ways that this electricity is attacking us. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, and nobody pays attention to it. And the war on cancer is an abject failure because they're missing the all this stuff could be prevented. I got a couple lines in my book saying that if we could get the U.S. population to have the exposures that the Amish have, or by dumping all, forbidding it being dumped into the ground, that we'd put the pharmaceutical companies and the cancer docs and the docs and the undertakers out of business, we would. I mean, the cancer rate in the Amish is 30-40% of what ours is, you know?
So basically, in a sense, you have found one of the major causes for cancer.
Not just cancer, for all the diseases of civilization. Here, I got a copy of my book right here. The title says,
wow.
Dirty Electricity, Electrification and the Diseases of Civilization. Those are, you know, and I go through them one by one. I go through the cancers, I go through the cardiovascular disease, I go through, you know, it's all right there to read.
So do you think it's that the medical community doesn't really want to hear this, neither do the power companies, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I don't know. I think part of it is the medical community. They don't teach this stuff in medical school. I had to learn all this electricity stuff later. And you know, who owns the media? GE owns NBC, you know, and they don't want this stuff, this word out, you know. And I've written to all to 60 Minutes and to Frontline and all of them, and I've tried to crack the magazine. That's why I wrote the book. I paid my own money to get it written. And I got an idea. I'm going to try to make a little YouTube video to illustrate how much crap's going in the ground and how it's getting into you. Maybe that'll wake some people up. But I doubt it. The other thing is the Congress is crooked. They're all bought off. And the public utility commissions are staffed by ex-utility people 95% of the time. And, you know, like the cow stuff, where they've lost suits, you know, they've lost probably 1,000 lawsuits, but they seal the verdicts and there's no publishing it. I'll tell you how bad it is. Stetzer, who makes the meters and stuff, he lives in Wisconsin, and they've got unusual sand. It's round globules. It's fracking sand. And they ripped up all the farms up in that area, and they mine the stuff, and they send it off to wherever it gets pumped into the ground. Well, as part of the process of mining it, they clean it and they transport it. They have big electric motors with variable frequency drives on them. Well, about a year ago, Stetzer came back from a trip, he and his wife. He's sensitive. Walked into his house and got sick. And he noticed also that the stove fan, the frequency was changing. The speed is going up and down, that kind of stuff. The refrigerator was shut off. So he's smart. He just got out his meter and measured it, and he traced it back to a variable frequency drive in a sand mine. Well, of course, he complained to the utility, and they didn't do diddle. And just to reinforce it, when it froze up in Wisconsin, they can't work, so they shut the thing down. So he was fine all winter. But as soon as it thawed, they started doing it again. They're driven out of their house. He can't live in his house. He's living in a cabin because his wife gets tachycardia. He gets sick and pukes.
Really?
You know?
Wow.
And not just making you sick. What it does is it makes motors run weird. So chlorinators at the chlorinating plant are going to be putting the right amount in. Clocks don't work right. your electric meters don't work right. They're going to overbill you, and it's just a mess. And he knows this business. We testify about this all the time, and he can't get what he's going to do now. Hopefully, is run around and ask the other. Oh, he blew up his furnace. His furnace, he had to replace that. He had a stereo system that went. They got blown up. He said his refrigerator and fridge are going to croak because he can tell they don't shut off. You know, it's stuff hurts electrical equipment. It hurts people like mad because we are electrical equipment.
Yeah. Well, Sam, thanks for coming on the show again. Your book is fantastic, and I'll have to reread it. And
good,
I appreciate
it. Go to the papers on the website, too. You know, they're free, and they're written. I write my stuff simply so anybody can understand it. And, boy, it's a cautionary tale. But you can, you know, help yourself and your grandkids and your kids. I'm 85. You know, I'm getting near the end of my string. And I just hope that we can maybe turn this around long after I'm gone, of course. But the other sad thing is we got nobody to pick up our work when Stetzer and I are gone. Magda Havas is the only other one doing this. Nobody else is doing it, and there's no money in it. And, you know, but the book is a record, and the papers, I put them in the scientific literature. Someday, 20 years from now, somebody's going to say, oh, my God, he was right. We could have prevented all this cancer and all this stuff. And that's what gives me hope.
Yeah,
okay,
it's a great book. Thank you, Sam. We'll talk to you again. Have a great evening.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.